Hello and welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. I'm Mr. Brown.
Hi, and I'm Tammy.
We have a couple of interesting movies this week. We're doing The Game Plan.
Yep, and we're also doing this DVD called Invisible.
Invisible. And Stardust, Neil Gaiman's novel made into a movie.
Sure.
But first, what's showing this week?
What's showing this week?
Oh, today got real newspaper.
Oh, sorry. Yes, the newspaper doesn't like the mic. Okay, sorry. All right, what's showing this week?
Rendition. Jake Gyllenhaal. Is that how you pronounce his name?
I always thought it was either Gyllenhaal or Gyllenhaal.
I hear on Saturday Night Live as Gyllenhaal. Mm. But anyway, he and Reese Witherspoon in this moral conscience CIA thriller movie about Reese Witherspoon's Anwar husband kena like whisked away by the CIA to kena torture and interrogated because he's a suspected terrorist.
Oh, so yeah. Typically American.
Yeah, yeah. And then they have to like ask the difficult questions about whether torture is the right thing to do in the interest of public safety, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, is this like in response to like the whole Cuban thing where they were...
Yeah, apparently rendition refers to this law that allows them to kind of, you know, if you suspected of a terrorist...
NSA, la.
They will just whisk you away. Yeah, they can do whatever they want to you.
Mm.
So that's rendition. I might watch it. Yeah. What else is showing this week?
There's also B-movie.
B-movie.
Yes, Jerry Seinfeld. It's basically about this bee who, you know, he lives in a colony, wants to go out there, and he finds out that humans are stealing honey.
Yeah.
So he gets all riled up about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It looks quite cute. DreamWorks, from the makers of Shrek.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure whether the humor would be the same.
I will tell you next week when I review it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking forward to like hearing the final judgment.
Yeah, yeah, next week. And lastly, what else is showing this week is Seeker, The Seeker, The Dark is Rising. It's based on some book, fantasy book about a kid called Will from present day who discovers that he is some powerful...
Dark Lord?
Not dark, he's a light lord. Literally, they call him, he fights for the light.
He's called
The Seeker.
Is that because he weighs so little?
And he can move things around with his mind, telekinesis. He's incredible strength, and he can summon fire. And he's been called to fight against the rider who belongs to the dark side. I mean, it's like a little bit literal and... Mm. I don't know, reviews have been a bit, like, not so hot. Yeah, but it's a kid's movie. A lot of this adolescent Harry Potter-ish kind of movies coming out. So that's The Seeker.
Cool.
Let's jump into reviews.
See which show. Review time.
First off, The Game Plan.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Yeah.
Cooking. Everybody from the action side of movies like seems to want to do comedy these days. You had Arnold did like Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, and Vin Diesel.
Yeah, yeah, the pacifier. Oh, God. I bet he wants to forget that. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson this time is jumping in and doing The Game Plan. He's Joel Kingman. A hot American football star who's living the high life.
I'm Joe Kingman, baby! The quarterback of the Boston Rebels, number one on that field, and number one in your pretty little heart. The king of the gridiron. Never say no, Joe? No? Nothing?
Hot as in like, you know, very popular, or hot as in like good looking?
Both.
I see.
Yeah, and he's got his big apartment, hot women, and fast cars. Yeah, that's him, Joe Kingman.
Typical bachelor.
And then his 8-year-old daughter he never knew he had, called Peyton Kelly. Peyton is played by Madison Pettis. Getting him myself. Shows up at his door. Okay, and turns his single life upside down.
But why though? Like after 8 years, why would she suddenly?
You gotta watch the movie, find out.
Ah, I see. One of those kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Then he has to juggle his NFL career while being a new father. You know, and of an 8-year-old.
Right here, chop chop.
You got a station wagon, Stella?
No, you did. Say bye bye to being the big bad dad of Boston.
So that's interesting. If all this stuff sounds very predictable to you, yes, it is. Okay, the first half of the movie, first half an hour, you got like groan. You know, you start to groan a bit. You know where it's going, but somehow, the movie kind of grows on you, and by the end of the movie, you kind of end up cheering for them and laughing.
Is it very long though?
No, not very.
That's why it doesn't feel like draggy. And
yeah, but then again, even if you didn't do it right, even short movies, physically short, can feel long. So no, this one picks up. Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's because the pace that picks up, or the leads are charming, or there's a chemistry between the two. But somehow, the formula works. You know, this formulaic movie kind of works. And Dwayne Johnson, as he's like to be called now, even though he'll always be The Rock, right? That's not his actor, right? Does comedy surprisingly well.
Huh.
Yeah, he has that twinkle in his eye, and he has this charm that
he comes across as a really charming person.
Yeah, he is. Very intelligent and fun to talk to. Bear in mind, this is a kid-friendly family movie. And some of the jokes, while they seem juvenile to you, the kids will probably laugh their asses off. Okay,
oh.
Pardon the French.
No, but kids as in like, you know, under 10,
8 to 12, you know, even younger, you know, 6.
They'll understand it.
Well, they may not understand all of it, but they will laugh, you know, because a lot of the jokes are physical comedy.
Ah, okay.
And Dwayne Johnson told me that this is the first movie his 6-year-old daughter sat through and enjoyed. So I think my kids and other kids too will probably enjoy it. The parents
cool.
will just have to tahan it. This ain't Scorsese, is how you pronounce it. Okay? So don't get worked up if it's not your cup of tea. I mean, like The Rock, Cutie Pie Kid, Disney. What do you expect?
True, right?
Yeah.
True.
But it works. You know, watch it with your kids and have a good time. That's the game plan.
Cool. Okay. Well, moving on to a DVD that we received called The Invisible.
Ah.
Now, it's about this dude, right, called Nick Powell, and he's looking and he's doing well in school and everything. And then one day, for some reason, he gets brutally beaten up and he gets left for dead.
Okay.
Right? So his soul starts wandering around and things like that. But he's not really dead. He's sort of like in limbo, right? So his soul left his body, but his body is still hanging on. So the whole point of it is everybody thought that he's dead, so they're acting like it, and he just needs to find somebody who can listen to him and bring his body back.
They can't touch you. They can't hear you.
I'm right here!
But if you can solve the mystery of your own death, then you'll have the chance to live again.
So he's not dead?
He's not dead. He's stuck in limbo, but he
will
be. How
do you get stuck?
Because he's just beaten up really, really bad.
So his body's dead?
No, his body is alive, but it's sort of barely alive.
Oh, like that.
So the soul gets to wander around a bit.
Oh, like that.
And then it's a bit Sixth Sense-ish, you know?
Okay.
And then after that, he finds this girl, and the very girl who beats him up is the only girl who can listen to him.
Oh, dear.
Ah,
so one of the girls who beat him up, a girl beat him up.
Yeah, the girl and two other guys, but the girl is the only one
can hear him.
Yes, who can hear him and who can help him and who can convince everybody that is where his body is. Go and save him.
Oh.
So there's that whole dilemma thing there.
Oh.
I thought it was actually going to be like an action thriller thing.
No.
No, not really.
Drama.
It's more a drama thing. Yes, it's about like two people who, you know, this sort of like hidden identity that nobody else really knows, and they get to know each other so well, except that he's sort of dead, you know?
Okay.
And I sort of was disappointed because it was really, in all the shots and all the trailers I've seen, it was sold as a thriller.
Oh, so it turned out to be a drama.
Yes, it was. So don't expect anything big. Don't expect the supernatural. Don't expect all that. Just expect to really sort of explore these two characters as a very character-driven thing.
Very angsty, more.
Yes, quite. Okay. In a manner of speaking. The DVD extras, it was just like commentary, you know, from the people and things like that. The acting wasn't half bad.
Who was the actor?
Nick Powell was Justin Chatwin. Who, if you don't know the name, he's only done really big roles. The biggest role that he did was War of the Worlds. He was the annoying brother.
Oh, annoying brother.
He's also quite annoying in this movie.
Oh, dear.
The girl is by Margarita Leviva.
Wow.
Sounds quite Russian-ish, but she's really good. She looks so good on camera, and she acts really well. So I think there's a bit of undiscovered like talent there.
Hmm.
But on the whole, nothing really to shout about. It's more watch it if you'd have nothing else to watch on a Saturday evening.
So promising looking, the cover.
I know. I was so looking forward
to it. So it's a newbie actor drama disguised as a thriller.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, basically it.
Okay, moving on to the next review, Stardust. I saw that recently. And this is a surprising movie.
Really?
Yeah. Neil Sandman Gaiman, you know, never had any luck getting his stuff to work out on screen. I mean, Mirror Mask.
I remember. Well, it was kind of okay in a Europe-y, arty-farty sort of...
Yeah, like I said. So this time around, right, this is the fairy tale. It's a fairy tale movie based on his novel of the same name. And in this small English town in ye old England, there's this wall that separates the human world from this other magical world, right? And Tristan is this young man, a brash young man, played by Charlie Cox. And he's born of mysterious circumstances. He goes over the forbidden wall, like his dad did, to catch a fallen star for a girl he wants to marry. And this girl is this petulant, like, chick called Victoria. So
they have to be named Victoria.
Victoria!
Don't they?
You know, bitch. So she goes over the wall to get the fallen star for her. Okay, now he's not the only one after the star. And now, this star is a girl named Yvaine. Okay,
played by Claire Danes.
Claire Danes, played by Claire Danes. And Michelle Pfeiffer is Lamia. Must not say wrongly. They sound like female body part. An evil witch who, together with her two evil witch sisters, you know, they'll hang together, are after Yvaine as well.
Why is it always three witches?
Yeah, it's the power of three. You know, watch
Charmed.
Macbeth.
Oh, yes.
I seek a fallen star. She fell not far from here. And when I find her, I shall take my great knife and cut out her heart while she still lives. And the glory of our youth shall be restored. I could do with losing a few years myself.
So they are after Yvaine as well because her heart, the heart of a fallen star, has magical properties. So not only them, the witches are after the star now. The sons of the dead Lord Stormhold, played by Peter O'Toole, he's the ruler of the magical land.
He's dead.
No, he's dead. He's dying dead.
Ah, okay.
Then the sons are also after Claire Danes, Yvaine, because she is the key to them ascending to the throne of the magical land. See?
Why?
So everybody is after, because the dad said so.
Oh, but then wouldn't he be like cured or something if it's so magical?
No, he's dead. He was like, okay, I'm gonna die. You guys want to be king? You get this star. Then they go after it. Right?
Wow.
Magical land, okay?
So manly.
Anything also can. Anything goes in a magical land, right? There were very, very cool appearances by Ricky Gervais.
So, name your best price.
For 10,000 bolts.
10,000 bolts of finest quality grade A.
Best price, 150 guineas.
Gentlemen, put the merchandise back on board and prepare to sail.
Hold on. 1 minute. Hold on, Cuddles. 160.
Seeing as I'm feeling particularly generous today, I'll settle for 200.
200? Okay. You're having a laugh. Have you had your head in that? Has he been saying that where the air's too thin?
You're being very rude.
Not anymore.
200.
180.
200.
That's not negotiation. I'm changing my number. 185.
Did I hear 200?
From you, you did. Yeah.
You said 200.
If I did, you're a ventriloquist. Okay. 195. Final offer.
195 it is. So with sales tax, that's, let's see, 200.
Brilliant. Put it in the back.
Oh, The Office.
Yeah, he acted as Ferdy. It was a Ferdy as a fencer.
I heard Fergie.
Ferdy. Ferdy the fence is a dodgy character. And then Robert De Niro, all right, as Captain Shakespeare, who's the most unconventional pirate you've ever seen. In fact, Robert De Niro really, really surprised with this role. And it's a really, really nice change you'll never look at Robert De Niro the same way again. Okay? Yeah,
but he doesn't do like this American, like,
go watch it. Watch. Ah. Okay, then you'll find out why. I found the movie fantastic. I mean, like, telling an engaging fairy tale without letting the effects and, you know, all
everything
the other
else
stuff get in the way. I mean, it manages to be witty and funny as well, which is another difficult thing to pull off. I mean, a lot of these movies take themselves very seriously, but this one doesn't. It's not really pitched as a comedy, but there were more laughs here than some of the comedies I've seen. And it's not Lord of the Rings wannabe. It's not epic.
No, I was actually quite worried about that because Claire Danes looked a bit Kate Blanchett-y.
No, they did not go down the epic path.
Okay.
It was a fairy tale told very well. And it wasn't lightweight as well. So, you know, some of these movies tend to get like super lightweight and then on the other way
so it gets fluffy.
Heavy. No. So I think, you know, the movie really works as a yarn well told. And I think Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert De Niro did very well, did pull their weight, but there weren't that many stars, so no baggage. Which is, again, it might work against the movie because people might say, well, you know, who's the lead? Charlie Cox, who's that, right? But even when I watched it, I was like, beginning, like, who's this guy? But it doesn't matter because the story is the main thing. So no baggage.
Wow, that's rare. That's really
very rare. Yeah. And Claire Danes, you know, even Claire Danes, whom I consider haggard, you know, when I saw her in Terminator 3.
Tired. She looked tired.
Tired, but, you know, here actually looks pretty good.
Huh.
Yeah, some of it CG lah, you know, making her
but still,
glow like a star.
But mean, like, you know, at least she could play it.
She pulled it off. You know, you believe that she was this beautiful fallen star chick. So, highly recommend it. Whether or not you are familiar with Neil Gaiman's work.
Mm.
Yeah, so actually, this is powerful stuff. I mean, if a movie can, you know,
make you interested in the work.
Yeah, even if you're not into it, you can still watch it and in of itself.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool.
That's
so
amazing.
Go watch Stardust. It's good stuff.
Cool.
And that's the watch over this week. Tune in next week when I review B Movie.
Yes, that is definitely on the cards.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Mr. Brown saying thanks for joining us. Bye bye.
Bye.
A production of C. What? Show.com.